Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Welcome back to Moody on the Mic. We are here for the final episode of this series. It's been a long run. We need a let up in the paddock just for a few weeks. Not a big deal. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as they always do, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, and the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Moods, good evening to you from your little isolated bunker in Belgrave City.
Mate, great to be back. The final Group 1 weekend. We'll have a little hiatus and we'll be back bordering on the Spring Carnival. Bigger, better and fresher than ever on Moody on the Mic. Yes, I am in racing isolation. I went to Queensland on the weekend and I left Queensland when it was a green zone, so I'm not isolated from the general public, but because we've brought in these very strict guidelines with racing, and I solely agree with them, I did Monday, Tuesday at the stables, which were probably the two most important days. But then when Queensland went into a red zone, Racing Victoria suggested, I know myself, Kieran Maher, and I think Craig Williams is the other one, and probably others, I'm not sure, but I did see Craig and Kieran there, and I know they're also in isolation. It was suggested to us that we have stay away from the stables. Just to cover all bases, I think the six-day cutoff is Friday, and that's when it's suggested you get a COVID test. So I'll be doing that on Friday with the Racing Victoria staff, and then hopefully Queensland goes back into from a red zone to an orange zone, and we should be clear to resume normal duties. If it doesn't, this lockdown from racing, and I say from racing only. I can go to the local pub, I can go to the local restaurant, but they've asked me to stay away from racetracks, stay away from my stables, and stay away from racing participants, which, as painful as it is, I truly support, because our wonderful industry is one of the few that has an uninterrupted run for the last 18 months. So pain in the backside, big splinter, but we'll get on with life. And I'm fortunate, like most people in my situation, we have a terrific staff at home.
Anthony Mithen, welcome to you. You didn't go to Brisbane on the weekend, and perhaps it's just as well.
Yes, I'm free as a bird. This is a disaster, Peter. This is an absolute disaster.
Why is that,
Anthony? For your wife. What a disaster. What? You can't get out of the house. You're stuck in her company. She would be doing it real hard, I reckon. With you full-time, 24/7.
Not right, Anthony, not right. Once again, you're not listening. I am not in lockdown. I can do everything. I can come down and give you a cuddle, you and little brother Teddy, because you're not considered a racing participant. You're just considered a racing pest, and you're not a necessity to the industry. So, no, I just got to stay away from racing participants, i.e. jockeys and trainers and my staff, and stay away from the stables down at Pakenham. And, that's about it. So, my wife isn't stuck at home with me, even as much as she enjoys spending good quality time with me.
Well, if I'm not seen as a necessity, it's probably not a necessity that you send the bill for those 12 you've got in work for me.
Yes, not a worry at all. I will send them to your brother-in-law, and I know he'll pay them quick smart.
Well, I just won't pay my share. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. No, listen, all good. But more importantly, we fight to live another day.
We fight to live another day. Yeah, well, that's about the case at the moment. Rain Man, welcome to you. As mentioned, we are going to go into a little short hiatus after this episode. I was thinking Moods was going to be in a 14-day full-blown lockdown and he'd want to do daily Moody on the Mic podcasts.
Well, I'm sure the listeners would enjoy that. Moods is best at Sale on a Wednesday. We could go right around the Victorian Provincial Centre. That would actually be quite exciting. We'd find plenty of winners as well. But this has already been our longest season ever. And I was trying to think, why have we been able to go so long this season? And it came to me. It's because Moods has been tipping winners, so he hasn't been getting the grumps. If Moods had gone through a bit of a losing streak, he would have been saying, we need to go for a break, I need a spell. But because Moods has been in such good form, he's wanted to go right through. And that's why we've had such a long and such a successful season.
We're obviously taking a break because he's found his spring horse. He wants to go to bed dreaming about incentivized winning everything, including the Melbourne to Warrnambool. he's pretty up and about, the big man. He even, you know what I got? I got a phone call Saturday night, 9 o'clock, sitting on the couch watching the footy. Phone rings, Peter Moody. I turned to the lovely and said, "Peter Moody's ringing me." I answered the phone. Have you been arrested? Because that would be the only time Peter Moody would ring you at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. But you just wanted to talk about this gun horse, this gelding that's come from the clouds to take Australia by storm, Peter.
I did, Anthony. I did. And you reciprocated very nicely. I think you were as excited as me, being by Seamus Award. But no, I just needed to speak to someone. I was driving home over the Balti Bridge and I thought, who's going to be up that I can ring? Oh, Mitho will be watching the footy three-quarter time. What a time to ring and have a little yarn about this horse. Crikey.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was on course at Eagle Farm on Saturday. The reason I'm in lockdown, I went up and had the day with Steve Tregay at on the Darling Downs at Toowoomba on Friday, just to sort of learn a bit about this horse that is going to join my stables. And you know, he's a big, raw-looking horse. He's probably more in the what I picture as a European type stayer. Big head, nice rein, big deep girth with a high wither, and probably, you know, certainly not there behind the saddle yet. Quite often we're gobsmacked when those European horses come out here to Australia because we're used to the more muscle-bound, strong, robust type, and they're lighter and leaner, and he's probably more in that mould. And to watch him win in the way he did on Saturday, well, I think everyone was pretty gobsmacked. I know there was a big sort of gulp from everyone in the crowd there at Eagle Farm, and myself included, but to watch the way the horse pulled up and recovered from the run, you wouldn't have known he'd gone round. It was quite astonishing. You know, crikey, it's good. I'm tentatively nervous, I suppose. A horse like this coming into your yard, and you think, well, can we keep this run going? Now, it's not a matter of keeping him winning, because he might come back. Well, I haven't decided, or haven't even discussed it with ownership group, whether he comes back to a distance that mightn't suit or whatever. I don't know, but to have him on that cup's path, it's very exciting and at the same time quite scary. It's a hiding to nothing situation. He's a good horse, and if he goes on and wins these races, well, he was a bloody good horse anyhow. But I'm probably at the stage of my career where if he goes on and gets beaten, people want to shit can me. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm there. It'd be quite daunting for a younger trainer, an up and coming trainer, to take on this type of horse, because it could be a career destroyer. But I can have a B&H and a 4X Gold and not give a worry. But that's not going to be the case. I'm going to try my damnedest, and that's why I spent that time up there with Steve Tregay and sort of tried to take on as much as I can about the horse. But oh crikey, he looked outstanding. And reading the reports from the sort of respected form analysts since the race, they've judged him right up there. And it's been pretty exciting for Australian racing, because probably the two exciting horses have come right at the end of the season with both he and Zaki at the Brisbane Winter Carnival. And we've seen that Winter Carnival form probably the last decade or so produce good horses. And these two look very exciting, well, and they might clash.
Throw into Fane as well, and you've got a trifecta, Rayman.
Yeah, absolutely. As we've seen in recent years, in a big way, the Brisbane Winter Carnival form stacks up with the two-year-olds and the older horses. Obviously, most famously in recent years with Winks, who won the Sunshine Coast Guineas and the Queensland Oaks. But I just wanted to add, the only people more excited than Moods is about incentivised is the ratings experts. Like Moods said, Daniel O'Sullivan's rated it right up there, the win right up there with Zaki's win in the Doomben Cup. And at the time, that was considered one of the best wins of the season. Adam Blenko from Racing in Sports, who is one of the best form students in this country, he was beside himself on Twitter on Saturday afternoon. He's that excited about this horse. And he pointed out a little stat that there's only been two horses in history that have beaten Mirage Dance in a winner race by more than 12 lengths. One of them was incentivised on the weekend. The other one was Cracksman in the UK, a multi-time Group 1 winner, 8 wins from its 11 race starts, now stands at stud. So it's in rare company. And I was one that got, after that Ipswich race, obviously we knew we had a talented stayer on our hands here, but it was the way he's beaten. There were some decent performed horses in that Tattersall's Cup, but it's just the way he's put them away. And done it with such arrogance. It's just very, very exciting. And it adds, I think we're in for a spring carnival to remember already. I just think there's a few different storylines already starting to emerge, and Incentivize is definitely one of them.
I suppose when we look at that race, and Moods, you thought, oh, you know, it's a big jump up from benchmark 78 to a group three, and he goes from winning by 9.7 lengths to 12 lengths. So he handled that with aplomb. But the beautiful thing about horses like this is that they're the ones that capture the racing or the imagination for non-racing public. Now, I mean, just like my mum listens to this podcast because she likes us in the Moods, but she doesn't know shit all about racing. And she watched a replay of Saturday and was just like, holy crap, like blown away. And that's what these horses can do when they're winning like that. They can just capture the imagination of people who don't watch racing every day like us.
Well, that's what racing needs, don't we? We need banner horses to go outside our racing bubble as such. And, you know, we've been unbelievably fortunate through the hard work of the participants and the administrators the last 18 months during this difficult period for racing to continue. And if we can have horses like Zaki and Incentivize and Tafane's just put two group ones together and exciting young horses, you know, the slipper winner and the size winner, Animo, stay inside, those types of horses, if they can come out on the stage in the spring, it's going to put racing in a very positive light. And, you know, I'm pretty happy that I'm going to be a part of it with Incentivize.
One question that was asked from a listener, and I know loyalty is a big thing for you, Moods.
Was this our listener in Nigeria?
Nigeria, or? Yeah. It's Prince Abdullah Bushir. He wants to know, now, loyalty, obviously, you've mentioned that on the podcast before. I think it's Anthony Allen who rides Incentivize, is that right? Yeah. So if there was a big race tomorrow, do you reckon you're going Anthony Allen, Luke Nolan, or now your new stable favourite, Jamie Cup?
Well, when Prince Abdullah sends me my great auntie's $25 million inheritance that he promised to send when I sent him my bank account details over, I'll probably let him know that answer to that. But listen, jockeys haven't even been discussed. Steve Tregay, the current trainer and part owner, was quite shocked to be told on 4TAB during the week that the horse was going to be ridden by Glenn Boss in the spring. And then someone else on another show suggested, I think someone else was going to ride the horse. So this is a discussion that hasn't been had at all amongst the participants. Anthony Allen, you know, he's done no wrong. Does he maintain or keep the ride? I've got no idea, to be honest. Let's get the horse down to Victoria. Let's get him settled in. Let's see what the COVID situation is. Let's see what jockeys are in form. And then I would suggest I will have a chat with the three owners, or there's only three owners in the horse now, and we'll decide that at that point. So not an issue at the moment, and I'm certainly not losing any sleep over it.
And that's the nugget, listeners, to tune in when we return in about, you know, between 4 and 6 weeks. You might have a better idea of who's going to ride Incentivize in the spring. We're going to come back and have a look at the big races for this weekend and what's going to be a nice short and sharp movie on the mic.
I am here to show you all how to Ladbroke it. Take a look at where the big bets are landing. Ladbroke's bet ticker gives you a live feed of incoming bets across all your favourite races and sports on your Ladbroke's app. Plus, you can now select and filter by runner. See where the big bets land with bet ticker.
But let's not stop there.
Let's Ladbroke the world! Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, the Wink Skinnies Group 3 race is on at the Sunshine Coast on Saturday. Rayman, obviously named after the, well, we won't call her the Queen of the Turf because in our eyes it's Black Caviar, but maybe the Princess of the Turf. How's the market?
She's no Black Caviar, but she was pretty good, Winks. The Sunshine Coast Guineas was the start of her winning streak. She was beaten in the Australian Oaks by Gust of Wind. I backed her then. And then she came out and won the Sunshine Coast with Larry Cassidy in the saddle. So this was the start of it for Wink. So she probably deserves the honour of the Sunny Coast. She's probably the best horse that's ever tested the Sunny Coast Guineas. So we'll give her this one. And this year we've got a really competitive race here. You can make a case for half this field. Tamalade is the favourite at $5.50. Palace Sissipan, unbeaten for Chris Munts, is $6. Densifier, $6.50. Tumbler Ridge, $8. It's a really competitive race here. And I think you can make a case for a few horses at double-figure odds, which I won't be making a case for one of double figure odds, but I do think that our Playboy can run well here for Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. I've always just thought this horse had a nice race win in it, and it's been racing pretty well in Queensland this preparation without a huge amount of luck, and this might be a bit of a drop back in quality. So currently getting 9.50 in a really open race. I'm happy to be with you. It should get a nice run from Barrier 7 with Robbie Frank in the saddle. So I think this horse will throw up a pretty good horse, but I'm not exactly sure which one it'll be.
I'm going to go with, is it Xenophire? Is that what we announced? D's and S's and Z's all together really confuses me. Yeah, finished only half a length behind Pelissipan last start. Unlike the favourite, it's been out to 1600 before, where she can herself pretty well. So beating the lip into second there. I think Barrier 5 suits. So I'm going to go with Densifier.
What? I'm going for one at odds here because I can't work the race out. So when you can't, when it's even like that and you don't settle on something, why not take the odds? So I reckon we're getting close to 20 to 1, Rain Man, about not an option. Number 4, the Kiwi horse, Michael Carl up, drawn wide, but I don't mind that. I reckon this horse's pattern is probably get back and run on, but has taken a spot. A bit nearer the speed last couple of starts in Queensland. Had a nice trial in between its last run and this. Not an option for Tony Pike, the Kiwi Raider, at odds of?
20 to 1.
20 to 1. Perfect. Take it. Not an option.
Listen, is it splinter in the arse time here? They say Armageddon's going to hit the Sunshine Coast this week. It's a heavy 8. I don't think barriers will play a big part in what's happening here. I'm going to stick with the highest rated horse in the race from a bad gate, Tumbler Ridge. Steve O'Day, Matthew Hoisted, they've been having a good trot lately. Top jock Ryan Maloney on. I like Pelissipan. The months horse winners. The winners keep winning, obviously. But it's drawn down low, no exposure to soft ground, and out to this trip for the first time is probably a bit of a question mark. So Tumbler Ridge for me, what handles the wet conditions that look like will prevail is probably going to win the race. He's had exposure on soft ground, not heavy ground. So I'd give him strength, he'll need it.
All right, let's move on to the Caloundra Cup now. And as Moods mentioned, with the heavy track, Rayman, a favourite. I'm guessing he's a favourite of yours, given that you made us touch on his last start just so you could tip him. Stockman goes around here, and he is a dead set mudder.
Yeah, he is, Rog. He looks really well placed here in the Caloundra Cup. Stockman, no surprises. He's been very well backed early, 260 into 225. The favourite and the Ladbrokes market mover. Parry Sound, who's been thereabouts without winning this preparation, is there at $6. Wugok is another horse that absolutely loves to swap. It's $6.50. Then you got Flash R, $9. The Ipswich Cup winner, Happy Go Plucky at $10. But this stacks up quite nicely for Stockman. Roger, as you said, absolutely loves the wet. 3 wins from 4 starts on a heavy track. And the way he put away a pretty similar field, really, in the Mackell Cup last start was very impressive. I think the Mackell Cup form and the Winnie Cup form coming from Sydney will prove stronger than the Ipswich Cup form here. So I think Stockman's deserving of its status as a dominant favourite here. And I think the other Sydney horses will be right in the mix as well, Parry Sound and Wugok. But Stockman, 225, happy to take the short price. It's one of my best bets of the day.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Rayman. I think Stockman's going to be very, very hard to beat. I think Parry Sound and Flash R are the main dangers from my point of view. But, yeah, if the track gets as heavy as what we think, you know, 7 or 8 range, then Stockman going to be very hard to beat. And I quite like it as well. Into one in Melbourne is my best for the weekend. We'll get to that later. Mitho?
Yeah, Wugok's fun to say, but Stockman is the horse that I'm going to make a three-peat for here, boys. You guys have tipped him, and I'm going to make it 3 in a row. Stockman for me, Mudder, good form. Rain Man likes him. That's enough for me.
Go. You sure?
Give us your tip.
Well, I just started.
Well, have you got yourself off that fence paling that you've been sitting on for most of this season?
Well, I'm going to agree with you, unfortunately, Anthony. I'm going to make it a four-peat here. It's hard to go past Stockman. I've got great respect for the incentivised form, but through Mirage Dancer, even though it's...
Here we go.
even though it's 12 lengths away. this was the race that Incentivise was going to run in, actually. So, he won last week. So, Stockman to win. But, listen, Mirage Dancer, he tracked into the race like he was going to do something last start. Obviously, Incentivise put him to the sword, but he held on strongly for second. So that form line might be good enough to win it, even though his heavy track form's not as anywhere near Stockman. So heavy and heavier on Saturday. Stockman wins.
Incentivise hasn't seen a heavy track yet, so we don't know. He might only win by six if he was out there on Saturday. Let's go to the Glasshouse Handicap now, Rayman, and another interesting race up there at the Sunny Coast.
Yeah, Desert Lords over the favourite here, Rog, $4.20, but the early market mover has been Nick and Nova, $12 into $5.50. Obviously, those punters are on bomb nice and early because Nick and Nova is a very, very good wet tracker as well. Three starts on heavy track for two wins and a second. Seven starts on a soft track for four wins and a second. So all his best form is on a heavy track, and he's already the highest rated horse in the race. So he's out of a big weight on his hands, 60.5 kilos, drawn barrier 20. But as Mood said earlier, the wide barrier draw could actually end up being an advantage, especially at that time of the day. So I'm happy to be with the class runner. But it is a pretty good addition to the Glasshouse Handicap. You've got Charlize, who's racing well for Myron Eustace, is there at $9. Prophet's always been a good horse, $10. Emerald Kingdom comes out of the Stradbroke, it's $11. So it's going to be a competitive race. But I think Nick and Nova, especially with what's going to be this heavy track, is the horse to beat.
There's shades of the Kemantari about this, because I'm going back to the well again. Tipped a few times this prep by either myself or Rain Man. King of Hastings. He's at each way odds, and I like him more the place than the win. Don't get me wrong there. But I think in a pretty open race, I think he showed some pretty good form last week, and perhaps he's getting back to his best. He will enjoy his toe in the ground, maybe not sinking all the way in if we get a heavy nine. But look, accounted himself and he's only run 1,400 very well. And I think coming out from Group 3 level back to listed company, 15 and 460, King of Hastings. So I'm thinking one part the win, three parts the place. And, that's where I'm going in a pretty open race.
I'm going to follow you in here, Rog. I like King of Hastings. The quick back up from last week, up to 1,400 by that stage of the day, drawn 10, probably no disadvantage getting out to the better part of the track. I only had one start at the 1,400 and didn't trouble the scorers that day, but just reckon as a more seasoned horse now might be ready to step up, and seems to be just a sense of timing about the preparation here. I like the backup 1,400. Let's have a ticket each way. King of Hastings.
In his only run at 1,400, though, he was fourth beaten just under three lengths, so it wasn't terrible. Moods.
Yeah, well, listen, the Nick and Nova form line's pretty good. He got beat three lengths in the Stradbroke, even though not in the first 10. So that form line's good. Married in with his wet track form and gate 20, I don't see being a disadvantage. I'm going to go from one extremity to the other here, the top weight to the bottom weight. Waterhouse Bot have taken real stage up. Second up, got beaten a benchmark 78 last start. But with no weight on its back, you know where it's going to be in the run. I know it's drawn one, but it's going to be forward in the run, with absolutely no weight on its back, which can be an advantage under these conditions also. Has fair wet track form without having one on it. It's one on the slow, but placed twice on the heavy. It's going to be up on the speed, making its own luck. You know it's going to be rock hard fit from this stable, and they wouldn't be taking it up there for the fresh air. So good respect for the 18, but I'm with the toppy Nick and Over.
Let's go south now. The Winter Championship final at Flemington. It's a finals day for a lot of these sort of winter series races at Flemington on Saturday. The Winter Championship, one of my absolute favourites, going for 4 from 4 since he began racing in Australia. Dice Roll comes up a pretty short price favourite with very good reason, right there.
Dice Roll is the short price favourite, Rog. Open 245. Punters were keen to take that price. Already into 225. Easily the best backed early. Kerwin's Lane for Johnny O'Shea's there at $6. Adelaide A, $7. Odeon, $7.50. And then Buckhurst, first up from a spell, the international, who belted out of the Cox Plate last year, is $9. So Dice Roll is absolutely flying since it arrived in Australia, as you said, Rog. And Nick Ryan's just, he's, with a small stable, he's a proper boutique operation, and he's got an competing right. He places his horses to perfection. And I think Dice Rail looks really tough to beat here. Barrier six, so he's going to have every possible chance in the run. So I think Dice Rail's deserving of its status as a short price favourite.
Yeah, nothing but respect for these proper boutique operations, Ray, man. I mean, when you get it right, you just get it really right. Nick Ryan has got a dead set right. He set Dice Roll for this race a long way out. And as you mentioned, he's airborne, well weighted. I reckon he starts south of even money, actually.
I'm not sure you can call Nick Ryan stable boutique, given he's got more horses in work than Peter Moody.
It's all about media profile, Mytho. You wouldn't see Nick Ryan racing up to Queensland to get his head in front of the cameras though, if he had a good horse. He's just a good proper horseman, sticks to his horses,
He'd
have a third of the horses of PG Moody.
Very good horseman and a very good trainer, Nick Ryan.
He's going super. Dice Roll for you. I reckon O'Shea got a very good track record in Melbourne of these hit and run missions, Rain Man. He seems to sort of pop up just very occasionally, but when he strikes with success. So he's brought a couple down to Flemington, I see. So I reckon if you back both of them, you're going to be okay. So that means me tipping Kerwin's Lane, Craig Williams on at this stage, but things might have to change there. So there is some change. If Queensland goes from red to orange zone, things will change, listening to Robert Cram earlier today. So there'd be some hope. They'd probably stick with the booking for now. But anyway, they might have a little headache on their hands with the jockey. But Kerwin's Lane at good each way odds. I don't think you go too far wrong if you back both of our shades at Flemington each way on Saturday.
Right. Listen, hard to go past Dice Roll. He's in terrific form. Nick Ryan's done a great job with this French galloper via Hong Kong, undefeated since he's arrived in Australia. So hard to go past him. Listen, it wins. Simple.
Yeah, I think it does. I think you're right there, Peter. Let's move on to the Sprint Series, the final. Race 8 of the program, also a listed race. Raymond, how's this one shaping up? This looks like a really good race.
Yeah, it's always a good betting race, this race, and it's come up very strong again this year. The Astrologist is the $4 favourite. It's racing very well. High Stranger, the early market mover, it's $4.20. Azarian from the Godolphin Stable, $5. $6. William Thomas, $10. He's got a pretty good record down the straight. So it's a really good race here. Azarian, number one here for Godolphin, being set for a first-up tilt at this race. And it's a horse with outstanding fresh form. 6 first-up starts for 5 wins and a placing. The placing was in a black type race in Queensland. So its first up form absolutely flies, has trialled nicely ahead of its return to the race. And if it does bring its best fresh form, I think it is the horse to beat here. The one unknown is he's never been down the straight before, so I'm interested to see how he does handle the Flemington straight, but I'm just happy to back this fresh horse. I think James Cummings, we know James Cummings and Godolphin placed their horses really well, and I think they've picked this race out as a first-up target for this horse, and I think it'd be tough to beat.
He goes well fresh, undoubtedly. Banquo goes well second up. Wasn't far off from last start in that race with the Astrologist and High Stranger, and as he comes in here second up, I think Banquo at a reasonable price is the one I want to be with here. So I'm going number 4, Banquo.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Rain Man. Again, Isaurian is the horse that's got all the pointers, all the flashing lights on, I would have thought. The Astrologist's been up a long time, Queensland campaign, obviously one last start. So you're just taking the odds to a horse that is going to at some stage reach the end of his preparation, and you probably don't want your hard earned on when that happens. And it's a bet to that, I reckon, because he's obviously in nice form after his win last start. But I'd rather be with the fresh horse on the scene at this time of year, and that's D. Oliver, J. Cummings, Isaurian for me.
Yeah, well, I've got a little bit of mixed feeling here with both those runners, Isaurian and a Banquo, to be quite honest, that have previously been mentioned. Go back to that second up run, last preparation with Banquo, second to Zatori and the Bobby Lewis. That form line is good enough to win this type of race, but he's a 4-year-old end tire. It's been a while between drinks, so probably a brave man to put him on top. But D-Lane might just be the bloke to nurse him. He's probably drawn the right part of the track, the outside section, to give him his chance. Banquo, probably just on top of Isaurian for mine.
Now, here's a thought. Let's make racing even more exciting.
With same race multi.
Across all three race codes.
Ladbrokes has Australia's biggest same race multi offering across thoroughbred, greyhound, harness and international races. Add up to four runners to your same race multi, lock in your odds and watch your potential payout increase. Bet with Ladbrokes, the home of same race multi.
T's and C's apply. See ladbrokes.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, Best Bets time here on the last Moody on the Mic for a little while, although we might still have some Best Bets for you over the break. Before we get to that, Rayman, the Ladbrokes video series has been pretty awesome of late. And not only that, mainstream media is starting to pick it up.
Yeah, we were on the front page of the Herald Sun with the great piece we did with Glenn Boss. And Glenn Boss, he was just so open about his experience and his life in racing. It was a really emotional and a heartwarming piece. And yeah, Bossy's been great during this content series thus far. And he joins our very own Anthony Mithen and Peter Moody for our Group 1 Year in Review series over the next 3 weeks across Ladbrokes social media channels. It'll be on Facebook and on Twitter, as well as the Ladbrokes blog and YouTube. They touch on just about every major story that's come out of racing in the past 12 months, how we got through the pandemic, Jamie Carr, the future of the Melbourne Cup. It basically all gets covered. It's a really outstanding range of content. And there's quite a few nuggets that come out of it from all three people involved. So definitely one to keep an eye out for, and a great way to get your Moody and Myth and Fix before we come back for the new series of Moody on the Mic.
What about the revelations of what Peter did with that cucumber? That was extraordinary.
I'm always been a man that is a cucumber, a fruit or a vegetable, I think. I've always been a man that's enjoyed his vegetables.
Yeah, sliced them, threw them in the salad, and in the gob they went.
Well, yeah. I don't know what's happening here, but let's go to Best Bets right now.
Yeah, going to be a tough one to follow that one, but I just watch the videos, punters. You'll enjoy them, and don't worry about mythos silliness. I'm going to wait for the final race of the day at the Sunny Coast on Saturday for my best bet. Race nine, number 11, Derulo, currently $5. It's a horse that does have pretty good wet track form, and there's not a huge amount of speed in this race. I think Derulo will be able to settle right on the speed, and it was pretty good when it won last start. So I think this is a pretty good race for it. I think it'll be right there on the speed, which I think could prove to be an advantage there on Saturday. So happy to be with Derulo as my best bet of the day. I think Stockman, as I said earlier in the calendar, will be mighty hard to beat.
As I alluded to already, I love Dice Roll. Been on it since starting in Australia, and I'm not jumping off now. And I'd want to get on now. So as soon as you're listening to this, take the 220, because I think it starts at $1.80, and I think you could almost double it into Stockman with that heavy track expected up at Sunshine Coast. So I think if you knock the two together, you're probably looking around the $5 mark, maybe a bit more, maybe $7. My maths is shithouse. But I think Dice Roll and also Stockman are the two good things of the day, Mytho.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a Rosemont Ruffy this weekend, and don't laugh, but run away to win the Banjo Patterson at Flemington on Saturday. He just hasn't come up over the sticks this time in. He looked like he was going to be a world beater last season over the jumps, and he just hasn't really shown a zest for it. And we've gone back to D. Oliver at Flemington, big track. Take him back rather than punch him forward, as is his trainer. Loves to have horses up on speed. But the way D. Oliver rode him back a couple of months ago at Flemington, just let him find his feet and follow a bum into the race, and he peeled out in the middle of the track and showed a real zest for it. We reckon we can repeat the dose there with I reckon he's 30-1 in most markets. Rayman,
$31 the win, $5.50 the place.
Yeah, so you could do worse than have a ticket each way on Runaway early in the day. And if you get the cash where you can load up on the quaddy and end at Roger's Best Bets and Rayman, and Moods might even get a winner for us this week. What do you like this week, Moods?
Before we get Moods' best bet, just as we mentioned, we are going a little break. We're not going entirely dark, though. We're just dimming the lights a little bit. There will still be some Moody Gold in your podcast feed each Thursday to download, which will be some of the greatest hits from the old Trackwork edition of Moody on the Mic, the series which spawned this podcast. We'll also drop a wrap from Moods, just in what he likes from his stable of a weekend, if he's got a few running, and look, I might be there to provide the best from Rain Man. And if he remembers to let me know, a Rosemont Ruffy from Mytho as well. So we're back in full in around 4 or 5 weeks. So it's very much a let up more than a spell, and we'll be prepped and ready to go in the spring.
So I'll assume that Johnny Sadler will be picking out my wage instead, given that he will be Highlight City on at the track version of Moody on the Mic. He was absolute pure gold, Johnny Sadler.
He was, but he forwent, or whatever the past tense of forego is, he forwent all royalties when it actually aired the first time. I think he got a couple of slabs out of this once, actually, Sads.
Well, Sads will be joining me out at the Packet Up Training Centre in a few months' time. So we might be able to have a little rendition of Moody on the Mic on camera and catch up with Sads and Philip Stokes and the boys out there at Packet Up. So very much looking forward to that. What a great season it's been. History awaits us at Flemington on Saturday. Jamie Carr shooting to be the first jockey to ever hit triple figures in the Jockeys Premiership in Victoria. Brett Preble, quite a few years back, 99.5. So I think that was a bit harsh on what they did to him there. The dead heat wasn't counted as a win, but he considers it 100, which I rightly think he should. But Jamie Carr probably should supersede that anyhow with a month left in the racing season. I think up to 97 today. Rain Man, was that right? She rode a winner at Sandown today. So if she can ride a treble on Saturday there at Flemington, but you'd be a brave man to suggest she's not going to ride 3 winners in metropolitan Melbourne after the season she's had. And more importantly, she's on my only runner, and I think it's a genuine hope on Saturday. Race 4. Course number 11, Forbidden City in the Targe Rossi final series. No luck at all the other day. We had to go too far back from a bad draw. Drawn slightly awkward again, but I think Jamie will probably look to put a more into the race this weekend after having that experience on her, and I think she will give us a great sight. Unfortunately, punters, I've got to agree with Roger. I'll see if I can drag him up to my good standards this weekend. I think Dice Roll and Stockman, the two best bets of the weekend in the winter final in Melbourne and the Caloundra Cups. It's been a tremendous season, an interesting season for us all. But more importantly, as we know, jockeys, owners, trainers and punters, let fast horses run fast. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Ladbrokes.